Are you one of the millions of people who have their homes and yards sprayed for pest control every month? If the answer is yes, are you aware of what else you might be killing or at least making sick, including your children and your pets? And have you given any thought to how many pets and birds and other wildlife are being exposed to toxic chemicals because of insecticides and pesticides being sprayed outside? And does this impact groundwater and air quality? If you're listening to this show, I know you care about all of those things, so I hope you'll stay here with me to find out what other kinds of choices you can make and still keep the scorpions and the black widows away. Hello, everyone. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and we are going to get down to earth with Mrs. Green, and I mean literally. Thank you for joining us and for being a part of our world. And before we get into the show, a shout out to the sponsor of this show today, one of our truly valued partners, Russet Southwest. They are not only local experts in our community for heating and air conditioning, they are strongly and passionately committed to indoor air quality. So it's perfect that they're the sponsor of this show. They have spent years researching the impact of indoor air quality, and they know that long-term exposure to low levels of pollutants and contaminants can lead to chronic health issues, and in some cases, acute health effects. And of course, they know what to do about it to ensure that you are breathing clean air in your own home. In other words, they care. We appreciate their support and the great work they do, and you can find out more about them and the services they offer by visiting russetsouthwest.com, and I hope you do. Now, let's get on with talking about Operation Bug Spray, the case for safe pest control. And trust me when I say I would be hard-pressed, even with doing a national search, to find anyone who knows as much about the subject as my in-studio guest, Nick Ingerston. Nick is owner of EcoPest Environmental Pest Systems. That's a mouthful, Nick. I like it. Southern Arizona's only natural and botanical pest company, and I might add, the only pest control company that has ever kept the bugs away at the Mrs. Green's World Casa for over 10 years. Nick, it's great to have you in the studio to share about what I believe is a very important issue impacting our planet. So thanks for being here.
Thank you, Gina. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with, this is one where I really want to start with your background a little bit, because did you grow up caring about bugs? Were you a little boy that was fascinated by them? Some reason had to lead you to this because you are so incredibly passionate about what you do.
Yeah, really, no. It's kind of funny. I grew up in the Midwest, so I was around a lot of bugs and such in the cornfields of Iowa, and it wasn't really anything that I had any giant interest in. I was a normal kid. I grew up. I went to school. I studied business marketing, to be specific, which is probably part of the reason that I really wanted to take the company in sort of a different
direction. Yeah, and you're good at it. Yeah.
No, it was really just sort of a fluke. I actually was. Sort of the opposite of where I am now. I spent almost a decade in the plastic industry, if you can believe that or not.
I can't, but it does make sense.
Machinable plastics and injection molded parts and that type of thing on the East Coast. And when we moved here, I just needed to take my life in a completely different direction. And I really wound up taking a job with a large local company. And just as a sales position. And I started learning, and I, for some reason, became really fascinated with the industry. I'm not quite sure where it came from, but it just really interested me. I don't know if some of it might have been that sort of chemical crossover that I dealt with a little bit from the plastic side. But through study and reading, I learned that I had an interest in doing things the way I wanted to do them and not the way a company was telling me to do them. And as I really studied a lot and started reading some of these articles, I found more and more and more on this natural approach, which almost didn't exist at that time. There were these kind of rogue articles that were out there from universities and things, but I used to come in and make suggestions. Hey, I read this article and you can use this product for this. And I could never even get any interest from them. They were just kind of stuck in their mold on what they did and how they did it. And So years down the line, I wanted to go out on my own, and that was the direction that I really wanted to take things in, was to do things my own way, and I really wanted to push things out into that natural end. But even when I look back, what I knew was it was so minuscule. It sort of felt like I knew a lot.
And I want to say, and baby, look at you now, because you are like a Wikipedia on natural pest control. And people that I refer you to that you spend time with, they give me feedback. Oh my gosh, he knows so much about what he's doing. Mm-hmm. It's not just a job, it's a passion and a mission. And it's certainly been incorporated. And now that answers the question about why natural, because it morphed into that. And you know, Nick, it's really funny about guests on my show frequently. The where they are now was not where they thought they were ever going to be. And it was something like this. We have people that have now started Safe Cosmetics, people that had indoor air quality issues with their health. So they started investigating that. And, you know, my belief is that there's somebody else moving the parts on the chessboard.
I believe
and
that
we're
too.
I do. It's like, yeah, I'm Mrs. Green. Really? That was not what I thought I was going to be doing in the third of my life. But we're all being prepared, in your case and in my case, to make a difference. And I think that really matters. So it was just you, and I know your wife was very supportive, and I don't know if she was always involved directly in the business, but since I've known you, she's been really there for you. What about your team? What does your team look like now? Fast forward.
We're still a small local company. We like to keep it that way. We've grown as demand needed. We're sort of in that now. We've made some changes, but we still have more to make. The team is, this is really the best team I ever had. The knowledge base we have now is amazing.
So they care too. It's not just a job for them.
It really is. Yeah, as they came on board and sort of started to learn the system and the approach that we take, you could see sort of the pieces fall in place, and it became a passion for them. Now, they started to understand why we did things the way they do, because it's not easy. It's much more difficult than the other companies deal with. The costs are higher. The solutions are much more complex, and there's a different knowledge base that goes in with it. And you can't just step into the role like you can from switching to company A to company B and just go out and do it. There's a big learning curve. I just recently hired a guy, and he was hand in hand with somebody else for 2 solid months.
Wow, and that's a cost for you.
Yeah, it is. 2 solid months I would release him on his own.
Yeah.
And now he's just flying. I call him the boy wonder. He's younger a little bit than we are. And he's really energetic, and he's amazing, and he's hopefully gonna kind of pick up that leg and carry it as some of us that are a little bit older slow up a little bit. We need that extra energy in the team.
And where would we be without our teams? That's how I feel. We have a small but mighty team, and they are my legs on the stool. And without one of them, I am crippled. So I thought it was really great that it was a question you wanted me to ask as well. And I want to just say something about, you know, it's more costly and on when people say to me, you know, green is always more expensive. And in some cases, that's unquestionable. But what I invite people to think about, how much is it worth for mm-hmm. your health, your ability to breathe cleaner air, for the health of your pets, and for the health of the environment? Is it worth like maybe an extra latte or two that you have to give up? And I mean that. I mean, we did a lot of lattes around here this past weekend because it was a big birthday weekend. And they are so expensive that it blows me away as a non-coffee drinker. You know, my children would disagree with me. It's worth every penny. But my point is, when you say it's more expensive, on the one end it is, but on the other end, it's an investment in your life and the quality of life for you and the planet. So that's Mrs. Green's World editorial comment. So let's get into some details about the difference between, is it what you would call a chemical or a synthetic pest control and a natural product? What are the differences?
The entire industry for a very, very long time, and presently is really synthetically chemical driven. It's always been that way. Now, I've watched the industry change and improve overall. I'm not just here to bash the industry.
I have too, and I've seen and more companies where a green choice is offered and they're promoting that. So that's evolution. I agree.
Yeah, and I I love all that, and I like to see those changes come to be. A lot of that goes back to the manufacturers, the quote chemical companies that have found ways to make things safer and safer. But what we find is those treatments become more and more and more restricted over time. So what we've seen, products have become more singular in use, not as broad spectrum where you just sort of spray them everywhere. They have to be more specifically used.
Does that mean specifically for certain kinds of bugs in certain areas, or what, or areas that you can spray, or what does that mean?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. A lot of the synthetics don't have very broad labeling, so they're restricted to cracks and crevices and things like that, which to me is sort of a red flag, right? Because
yeah, that's really scary as heck.
They're
you
not
can't put it everywhere.
They're not the organophosphates that they used to be, which were really bad. I mean, that they just didn't break down in 40, 50 years, they're still in your house, and there's a lot of studies on that, which it ties into that air quality thing that you were talking about with russet. The difference on our side is that even though in the industry there's been these advancements and these improvements and really kind of these safety things to try to limit the exposure to pesticides, they're still dealing with toxic chemicals, where we've taken an approach of moving to natural elements first, then sort of non-toxic, you know, second, and everything else just sort of falls in behind it. But we try to focus on that natural side of things. The great thing about that is we don't have any restrictions on us. When we come in, we can apply anywhere we need. We have so many different formulas and mixtures outside and inside and all kinds of specialty, you know, treatments. And the so a company would come in and be able to treat these little itty-bitty cracks and crevices, and we can come in with a line off the truck and do, you know, a 50-foot-wide power spray if we want to into the trees and everywhere else. And we can really create this big zone around the house that's completely protected and completely non-chemical. So it's great. Not only protects the house, but it makes the yard more usable if your kids are out playing and such. There's just no concerns at all.
And people have to think about that, and I didn't. So yeah. I can be this passionate cheerleader. I didn't. For years and years, we had, you know, the bug guy come. And then Mrs. Green was born, and then I started reading about things, and you are sort it's a path to your good health and your children's health and your pet's health. Pets, people have to think about it. They're on the ground, they're low to the ground, they lick things, and you don't need a hazmat suit and a mask to spray your chemicals. And I think other companies that aren't doing it, they should not have employees that don't wear masks and all of those things, but I'm not in charge of their world, so.
It's an interesting thing. Those studies and stuff, those exposures, most people deal with the industry sort of an out of sight, out of mind. They don't see it. They don't smell it. They don't really think about it. So they sort of convince themselves it's not there. But it's actually quite amazing. There's studies out of several different universities, the agriculture ones, much like, you know, the U of A or Florida's a big one. Penn State, they've got some really good studies. If you go back to the organophosphates, they did studies that, now those were phased out in 1988 is the last of them. And they did studies that were decades out from there. Okay. And they could, I forget the exact percentage. They went through and they tested like 50 homes.
And they could still find traces?
And they could find organophosphates in like 84% of them.
It's just, oh my gosh.
It was
unbelievable. Yeah, it's so really scary.
What people don't realize is with pesticides, they're designed to cling to organic particles. Well, here in the Southwest, it's really dusty. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
So the dust gets into your house. So you spray, they wind up clinging to dust particles. Then as you sweep and vacuum and whatever else, they go airborne and they go everywhere. They get through the whole ventilation system, counters, everywhere. So as you're just moving through your house, you're exposed to it constantly.
It's like airborne plastic. They never biodegrade. They're just with you forever. They just turn into little microbeads. But there's a great similarity there.
Yes.
Between something that never goes away. But Nick, what makes it natural? Like, I don't want to misspeak, but when you guys leave my house, it smells like an essential oil. And I'm not sure if it's peppermint or spearmint, but I can always tell if you've been here when I pull in the garage, because it is definitely a natural peppermint or spearmint or something like that. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us? I know you can't tell us all your formula, but do you use natural ingredients like that?
Everything in the ingredient in the blends are natural. We do seasonal blends, so we actually have several. We have a 60-day rotation where we
who knew that?
Where we focus on a different season, yeah. A different type, especially more of the insects of that time of year, if you will, that we focus on, because it does change the breeding cycles.
Yeah, monsoon season. It's the only time in the year I call you for a second spray, because I had scorpions coming out of the drain. They're, you know, it's like I don't see bugs in this house, and I am phobic about scorpions because we lived in a scorpion infested house, which was traumatic for the whole family. And my daughter got bitten, my husband got bitten, friends got bitten. Stung, I think, is the word. They don't bite, they sting.
Correct.
But I'm really phobic about it. So it smells good. I asked you guys to spray inside because I don't want to see a scorpion. And we've seen 2 in 10 years. So you're really doing a very good job of keeping the scorpions away from me. So there's natural ingredients that you change with the seasons. Didn't know that, and it makes so much sense.
Yeah, we have a lot of different mixtures that we put together depending on what we need to specifically deal with, and we have a lot of customization with that. We sort of have a basic framework, but we do morph it to specific problems and scenarios that people are having, which is, again, a lot of companies won't do that. They just do the same cookie cutter thing from house to house. Our outdoor mixture has a mineralized powder base, which is designed for durability. It doesn't break down with UV, heat fluctuations, sun, rain, those things that generally on a normal chemical basis will break those down, make them ineffective. That powderized mineral base doesn't succumb to any of those. So it's
what happens when it rains?
Well, basically it's non-soluble. So the rain doesn't break it down at all.
It'll
move around a little bit, you know, with the raindrops.
Right, with the mud.
When it dries, it sets back up and it goes back to work. Now, it does eventually sort of work its way into the ground. And so it does have to be reapplied. It's not a once forever thing. But then to that base, we add a seasonal oil blend. So that's where you detect some of the fragrances change a little from time to time. We're always experimenting. We're always doing in-house lab testing. We do it periodically, and that's just kind of part of how we self-develop, you know, these things. It's all done internally from the insects. We normally use scorpions because they're sort of the top of the pyramid, the difficulty to control. So we tend to use them.
And people are terrified of them. If they're smart.
We'll pluck them right out of the desert. We do in-house lab testing. Those kind of roll out into, you know, your field trials and successful things sort of work their way up to the top.
So this is a weird question for someone that owns EcoPest, okay? Mm-hmm. Environmental Pest Solutions. Does everybody need a pest company? Even natural one? I mean, is it, and it's a weird question to ask. And what I was trying to get to, if you don't have a lot of bugs, is there a reason that you should still consider it? Because, like, to me, when my kids were little, it was a safety issue because we had so many scorpions. I don't want them getting bitten, stung by a black widow. I keep saying bitten because it feels like a bite. And we have brown recluse. We have kissing bugs. To me, I really want to keep my house bug-free, and I'm a rabid environmentalist that makes a choice about every single chemical that comes into this house. I've had it air quality tested by Russet Southwest to a fare-thee-well. Do I have any cleaning solutions that you can pick up? You know, it really matters to me, but I'm never giving up my bug spray.
thanks. There's not going to be a point where everybody has pest control and not everybody necessarily
needs
it.
Not everybody can afford it.
Yeah.
That's another reality.
It's true. It is. It really varies a lot from place to place. If you get down into Midtown here, scorpions are almost unheard of.
It's more in the higher desert where we are, or out in the sticks a little bit.
And you get fairly surrounded by desert and rocks and all these little natural cracks and crevices and hiding spaces and things, and they can be all over. They can really be bad sometimes.
Go to the Desert Museum some night in the summer with those black lights.
I do, and
I'm terrified, and I still get off on going to see them because they're everywhere. They're under every rock and crevice out there.
Yeah, that's what it's like, and a lot of times that can be just part of your neighborhood. The more urbanized an area is, certain things you won't deal with, and the more rural and deserty that you get into, the more you're going to deal with a sort of a blend of everything. Town deals with, they have an absence of a few things, but there's certain things that just never go away. Mice, roaches are particularly bad.
Pack rats.
In town, not so much, but mice are very prevalent. Pack rats a little more out of town.
Yeah.
So you get these variances. So it's really on a case-by-case basis. And the thing is, we don't use a platform to push everybody into any one thing. Our general platform is to assess the problem, look at the options there are for service, you know, for solution, and we usually just present that to the customer. There's options A, B, C. What do you want?
Give them a choice.
Yeah.
Give them a choice.
We can go top to bottom, everything.
Right.
We can just troubleshoot this one thing. You know, what is it you need? And we do that partly to be economic and cost friendly to people. I mean, some people are more panicked and they just make it all go away, whatever.
I admit I am phobic about bugs.
And we do everything. And other people, we just show up once in a while. They'll call us once or twice a year,
right.
And we come in.
Monsoon season and when the
summers.
Bugs come out at night. Yeah, summer.
Yeah, summer's
it,
always,
it really
the, always the toughest.
It's, so another question I have, and this is easy one, I think. I am a queen of smelling out greenwashing because I know now what questions to ask, and I think it's really not fair how easily you can use the word green, eco-friendly, it's not regulated, it's all crap. Excuse my crass language. So we have listeners from all over the country. This is in and around the Southwest, so I would assume anybody in Tucson who hears the show would consider using EcoPest. That would be smart. But if not, if they have a trusted, you know, provider that they use, or if they're not in this part of the country and there is no EcoPest, what kind of questions should the average consumer ask? Are there simple questions you can say? Like if I said to you, well, do you put this chemical in and do you put that chemical in? I'm never going to do that because I won't remember the names of them. But what can you say to the consumer to be a conscious consumer and ask the right questions about what's safe for their home and their pets and their children?
Yeah, that can be tricky. There are a lot of companies that are out there everywhere. We see it here locally. There's really a handful of them here locally, but that kind of play a word game, and they use certain phrases to, in my opinion, to put up a facade
I have been stumped for dirt, not for that, but for certain things because you see, oh, it says this, it says this, it says this. Not anymore. I ask a lot more questions, but not everybody's going to do that. What are some, is there a simple answer? And if there isn't, that's a good answer too. Is it worth your health to study it a little bit and find out what you're bringing into your home? Yes.
Yeah, we try to be really kind of point blank with people. We tell them that if you're looking around and searching, you'll find some companies that can give the impression that they might be doing the same thing we are. But in a point blank fashion, I always tell people we are the only company that does natural pest control in Southern Arizona. There's other companies that say we're green or we're environmental or we're friendly, this and that. They say terms like we're kid and pet friendly and things, but all that really means is they're still using the same synthetics, the same toxin-based pesticides that everyone else uses. They're all the same. There's a collection of the common ones that are used, and that's usually what most people use in one of them or several of them. But they're trying to dial it down to more real small, detailed, kind of crack and crevice usage. A lot of the labels have shrunk, like I said, where you can only spray 1 foot up and 1 foot out from the base of a home or the base, right? And whereas, like
wow,
I said, we don't, right? And it's to limit exposure.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole reason is to keep, you know, people from just rolling through it or walking through it and that kind of a thing. And I find all that bothersome. I realize there's a need to not let insects go crazy and have your house, you know, just swarming with stinging, biting things, because that's not a good thing either. There's just neater, cleaner ways to do it, but it does take a lot of work. So that's the big thing that I push to people as I go, that we focus on the natural side. So those concerns of having a toxin in the house, something, it all just goes away. Although our mixtures are proprietary, we do have a list that I often email to people, and it just says point blank in it, has a little category, and it says what's in our mixtures. And it's a giant list of all the things that we use that are mixed and matched, and there's a lot on there. And they can research and look at
so
any of those
point.
They want.
That's the answer, is that you'll give them what's in there, and then they can take the time.
Yeah.
But they have to care enough first to know that this is a really good move on their part. And I remember when I first contracted with you, and it was very early. I think it is almost 10 years. I really do think so. Because it was right when I started Mrs. Green, and I thought I can have it. All this stuff started coming up and making changes. But
it's hard to believe it's been that long.
I know.
Don't know how the time
over
goes.
A decade. Yeah, I know. I was young then. Now I'm just younger. So people ask, as I did, does it really work? Because I'll tell you this, full disclosure, I went to the Amazon and I used all natural sprays. They worked to an extent. They probably didn't work as well as DEET. Mrs. Green was not putting DEET on her body. It would have been such out of integrity to me. So I got a couple of mosquito bites. I lived. I mean, I was protected, but it wasn't as good. This stuff really works. You can say that, right? I mean, it's like, yes. Yeah, that's a big question. It really works. I'm here. I'm your like placard here. Your whatever you call that board, advertising board, because it does. And I was scared. I was like, yeah, well, some of this natural stuff is not really quite where I want it to be. I want the bugs dead.
I mean, 10 years ago, yeah, we were definitely not as good as we are now. We've just continued research and time and our testing sites and things that we do, and we learn like anything else over time. We get a little wiser, hopefully, and they really do work. It's complexity in the mixtures. There's been some times years ago where some companies around town started making little claims like, oh yeah, we can do that. All they were really doing was grabbing a sort of a single function product that's made by one of the big companies. There are some other natural products that are out there. You can go to Home Depot and you can kind of see, this one and that one. And most of those tend to be fairly simple in mixture. And they would put them into a normal little handheld sprayer and kind of treat them just like a regular pesticide. Problem with that is the mixture is too simple and the approach of treating the physical treatment is way too simple. You have to be much more aggressive than that. So we have mixtures that usually have 9 and 10 different ingredients in them and work in different ways. So there's a sort of a multi
together
faceted
the way they work together.
Yes.
Okay.
And you also have to apply in a different manner. You have to apply heavier, you have to apply more, bigger, broader type of thing. So our outside treatments are big. They're usually at least a 10 to 20 foot perimeter around a house where somebody, another company is just doing a little, like right at the base of the house. It might be a foot or two. When you combine all those different approaches and things, you get really, really good results. The other way that there's an effectiveness difference is, see, with pesticides, most of them are singular in function. Anymore, most of them are non-repellent, and they're sort of invisible. It's, as I said, you out of sight, out of mind. They only work really when the insects crawl through them, and they don't realize they're even being affected by them. It's sort of like, going through your
like
local
contact. It's from the contact of it.
Yeah, it's like going through an elementary school and opening doors, and you don't realize you got all those cold and flu bugs all over your hand, right? And you're spreading it around.
That phase we all went through with kids. Yeah,
kind of the same thing there, but they get it on their bodies and stuff, and they become affected by it. Natural, if anything that's wet sprayed at the time of treatment dies very quickly. There's a 60-day long-term residual that's there working all the time. And there's also a large mechanical fragrance that's there that works as an ongoing barrier all the
time.
See,
that's what I was going to ask you too, because I have to do another disclaimer. And there is proof sitting here with my husband, who is our, the partner in the business. We don't kill spiders. We take them outside. We collect them. I mean, my daughter who was here, she found a big bug in her shoe. She took it outside. She didn't even freak out. We don't kill bugs. I'm not, except for scorpions. I mean, and cockroaches. Okay, full truth here. But it prevents them from coming into my house, is what you're saying. So if they're spraying outside by the base of my house, they're keeping, maybe not killing all the bugs, but keeping them out. That's what I want.
Yes, those large zones, it's actually part of the process.
It's prevention.
If you are... philosophy is we don't generally do a lot of indoor treatments. We only really do them on an as-need basis.
Right.
But the outside treatment, we put our time, energy, money into the outside treatment to create a bigger zone on the outside that makes the yard friendlier, but also keeps everything really further out and away from the house, reducing the need to do inside. So it just makes sense.
Yeah. Like I said, it's usually once a year for me, if that, and that's a big deal for me. And it still smells nice. So that that matters to me too. So we're close to wrapping up, but I have a couple more questions I really want to cover. I'd like to know about your like the demographic of your clients. Is it changing? Are more and more people caring? Is it like older people? Is it young families with kids? Who's your client?
It is changing. It's growing. We've seen over the years there's more and more people that are outwardly saying, I'm trying to move away from the cleaning product this and the pesticide that.
And such good news for me.
It really is. We've really noticed a difference in it. We don't have any one real demographic, but a large driver is kids and pets. Kids and pets is significant, where parents are thinking about it, what they're eating, what they're exposing
their
really
kids to. They're really putting it all together. That's very encouraging for me,
I think it's
though.
Fantastic.
I do too.
Because I think it ties into some of these things that are out there with there's the studies that where there's likely tie-ins and possibilities to autism and various autoimmune deficiencies and things. And my kids both have autoimmune, and that was part of the driving force of the company.
I got goosebumps again, because that also is a driver for people making cleaner, healthier, more sustainable choices, and the planet benefits. Because none of these, we are doing this because of Mother Earth. It all hurts the very, very dirt and nourishment that gives us life itself. We're spraying harsh chemicals on it. I am thrilled about the recent news about Roundup. When I see those commercials that say, get your yard Roundup ready, and I can barely talk, it kills people. And now that $298 million lawsuit, it's getting people's attention. It gave that man cancer. They proved it, and that's all I'm going to say about Roundup. So I think it's safe to say that you're kind of a mad scientist now, constantly trying formulas, driving the company, moving it in future directions, experimenting. What's up next for EcoPest? What are you working on?
We have started a lot heavier into our research and development, not so much in the application side. That's still there. That's our service side, but more in the research and development side. So 8-9 months ago, we started a new company. It's called BioPure Botanicals, and it is essentially designed to bring some of the formulations that we've been creating and playing with over the last decade plus to market. And so that is what we're kind of currently working on. Our first one is in the pipeline now. We're going through labeling and safety data testing. These aren't things that have to go through the EPA, but they still do have to go through a registration process. They need to be a recognized product that's on the market with a registration number to sell. The first product that we're bringing out is one that we think is really the most important. And it's not specifically just general pest control that you do at your house, but it's a termiticide called Fire and Brimstone. And it's called that because it utilizes cayenne and sulfur in the ingredients. And we've been doing that application for a decade, and this is our fourth version. We've changed the way it's made and how it's mixed and all these things over and over again, and then tested these sort of field versions. We get as good or compared to some products, better results than the synthetic termiticides that are on the market. And what a lot of people don't realize is a termite treatment will have 100 to 200 gallons of product applied around it. And now the volume is similar on ours, but it's completely natural.
It takes my breath away.
And our treatments, we do, where most companies do a treatment and it's a 1-year warranty and then you have to sort of purchase additional years. We include an all-inclusive 5-year warranty with the treatment of the house. And it's because we believe in it that much and we know its effectiveness and we've been doing it long enough to know that it works that well, that we have no problem with it. So it's every treatment has a 5-year warranty. And
does mine that you just did?
Yes.
I'm sitting there thinking, oh, Mrs. Green house had termites. And I spent a long time talking to you about the options, and there were 3. And then I asked the question, what one would you use?
Yeah.
Because that, if you're using that in your home for your kids, and it was a very long, thorough explanation, which is what I wanted, and we made the choice. So that's good.
Yeah.
We're good for another 5 years.
Yeah.
That's really great.
If anything does come up, and no termite treatment is perfect. I mean, there are little pop-ups that can happen. We live in an area where termites are very prevalent and they're very good at doing their thing, you know, at finding their food source. But we actually find our callback ratio is very, very tiny. And it outperforms most of those big name synthetics that are out there that are supposedly so good at killing and solving all the problems, you know. So natural formula that outperforms them. And truthfully, around town, we're usually significantly cheaper.
Yeah. And it's and it lasts, and it's natural. It's like, if you have been on this journey like I have, you stop and you press pause about these decisions because I want the termites gone, like every last frickin' one of them. I don't want them in my wood, and it's structurally compromising my house, so it's good to know. And I mean, I wasn't worried because I had you, but not everybody does. So you're up to good stuff. I want to tell people that it's a personal endorsement for me, and to a lot of you that have asked me and have you and now use EcoPest. I've never heard one complaint in the past 10 years. People are very happy with the results. Your team is wonderful. Whoever comes here, they answer questions. So if you want to check out more about Nick and about EcoPest, you just have to go to EcoPestAZ.com and stay tuned for coming attractions. The tie-in to me about climate change, as I briefly mentioned, the use of insecticides, herbicides, and pesticides continue to have a devastating impact on the earth and on all of us, on our plants, on animals, on our rivers and oceans, and on the very land which gives us life. Nick and his team at EcoPest are all about walking gently on the earth and about being part of the solution. So let's remember that through behavioral changes and conscious consumer choices, we are a significant part of making the much needed changes that support a more sustainable and socially just world. So Nick, thanks for sharing all that. Thanks for doing what you're doing. And everybody, we have just such a great lineup for the fall. This week with Lee Paiva, the show is all about rape prevention. And she's working in Africa now, but has amazing results. It's called Stop Rape Culture, Empower Youth Now. That's on the 18th. Her name is Lee Paiva. And then on September 20th, another local show, Down to Earth, Girls on the Run, The Heart and the Soul of It, with Sylvia Brown and Elizabeth Weintraub. It's all about a program that get girls running, but that incorporates so many more things in terms of their developmental assets. So thanks for being a part of our world. And again, Nick, thanks for being here. And everybody, make it a great green, consciously lived week. Thanks for being a part of it.